Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Aaron. It was certainly, I think, it might not have been me that said that at the conference a year ago, but you certainly might have heard me saying similar things myself before I joined the QAA. I think the QAA is on a interesting journey at the moment in terms of how it relates both to the public and to students and to its subscribers. What I'm going to try and do today is talk shamelessly, actually, as a plug for the work of the agency over the next 20 minutes and what we're doing, and talk about the role that we think we have in partnership with a whole range of people to essentially assure student and public confidence in higher education, which is good because that's the title. So I'm going to cover three broad areas, essentially what we do and our core activity. I want to talk, again, I'm the student engagement manager, so I shall shamelessly hijack this to talk about student engagement. And I also want to talk about our work we do communicating with the broader public. That's what I'm going to do. So to start with essentially our core activity, I'm sure you'll be familiar with much of this, but I did want to reiterate what it is we do to start off with. Obviously, we run an increasingly comprehensive sort of suite of review and audit programs. You'll be familiar with, no doubt, Institutional Review for England and Northern Ireland, which is our review of higher education delivered in higher education institutions, but also starting this year, our review of college higher education. We are in danger of all of our review methods being named after people. We have Irene and now Archie. I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not. But we also have a number of other audit and review methods, both operating in Wales and in Scotland, ELIR in Scotland, and of course, Institutional Review in Wales. We run a number of specific review programmes, such as foundation degree reviews in Wales, reviews of access provision. We're also the advisor to the Privy Council on applications for degree awarding powers and university title. A big development for us over the last year or so has been the work of the UK Border Agency, who has invited us to essentially provide something called educational oversight for those institutions that have overseas students in order to ensure that they are eligible for highly trusted sponsor status, essentially checking that they are suitable organisations to be doing that kind of thing. Underpinning a lot of this work is something called the UK Quality Code. Again, many of you will be familiar with this. This is essentially the renamed and revamped, hopefully improved, UK Quality Code, which has developed from the academic infrastructure. And that taken together really is the framework of kind of tools and levers that we have to really help ensure quality and standards within higher education. Just want to talk a little bit about the UK Quality Code in more detail. I'm not going to go through all of the aspects of it, but I did want to highlight that actually this represents a real, although I'm about to talk about is to do with semantics and wording to a large extent, it does actually mark a real step change in the way that QAA thinks about quality and standards. So the Quality Code sets out a number of reference points, a number of expectations that the higher education sector itself has agreed to sign up to in terms of ensuring high quality learning and teaching and threshold academic standards. For the first time, it includes chapters, bizarrely for the first time, it includes chapters on learning and teaching, student engagement, student support, and information about higher education. The point about learning and teaching, having a specific chapter on learning and teaching, is that in the past that was spread across a whole range of chapters, and a lot of the information has been brought together into one. I think it's really important to talk about the fact that our language, when we talk about what is in the Quality Code, has changed. QAA has often been accused, I think probably quite rightly, of talking in a kind of slightly bureaucratic, in fact quite a lot bureaucratic, kind of quality assurance gobbledygook, basically. And we've really tried to move away from that in the Quality Code. And that was partly actually in response to feedback from the sector, who told us that they wanted us to be much clearer about what were expectations and what were requirements. So we've started using that language. In each of the chapters of the Quality Code, there is an overarching expectation which states quite clearly to providers, to public and to students, what is expected of institutions. QAA doesn't set those expectations. They're set by the sector itself. We essentially facilitate the process of that coming together. First chapters of the Quality Code were released in December 2011, and it's a bit of a painting the fourth bridge job to get through it all. We are currently round about here. We've just released student engagement chapter and the learning and teaching chapter. The student engagement chapter, we think, is a really major development. It is the first time that there have been these kinds of expectations about the involvement of students in a partnership approach to quality assurance and quality enhancement. We have taken quite a narrow definition of student engagement in that chapter. We've talked about student engagement in relation to involvement in quality assurance and quality enhancement processes. There are, of course, wider definitions of student engagement, including most commonly from research in America and Australia, the definition of student engagement about the extent to which students engage in their own learning experience. And that's mainly handled through other bits of the code. Anyway, one point I wanted to make about all of that is the importance that the QAA places on having a common framework for the UK. We think it is vitally important that students, the public, and higher education providers are able to talk about working within one common framework for quality and standards in the UK. We think that helps in terms of the intelligibility of the system, in terms of ensuring that we help protect essentially the brand of UK higher education so that everybody falls within the same framework, and so that people know what expectations apply regardless of which bit of the sector you are in. We think that's a really important statement of policy. It's a statement we made to the government in our response to their technical consultation on the white paper, and it's something that I hope we'll hear reaffirmed by David Willetts later on. We do think it should be applied to all providers in the HE market, but we do accept that, very much taking Ruth's point, that the sector is a wildly diverse place, and perhaps increasingly diverse, you know, increasing in private provision, new providers coming into the market. And it is because of that diversity that we think it is really important that there is this common framework. That is not to say that common framework cannot accommodate and differentiate within it. We would, for example, expect our review methods, as they develop more, to come together into an overarching review method framework, but with allowing with differentiation for different priorities in different countries and different types of institutions. I think it's important I stress the value that we put on enhancement. It can be very tempting, I think, as a quality assurance agency to turn into a kind of compliance and tick box approach to that kind of system. And often we sometimes might feel pressured into that by some of the more reactionary stories we get about quality assurance. But we're very clear at the Quality Assurance Agency that enhancement is a key plank of what we do. Across our review methods, you'll be aware there are essentially four judgments. Judgment on quality, judgment on standards, judgment on a provision of information for the first time, and also a judgment on enhancement. So we treat that as equally important. I do want to talk about how we engage students in quality assurance. We don't think we can effectively assure the quality of higher education without involving students, both in terms of our decision-making processes, in terms of our policy development, the process of assuring quality, and in encouraging that within the sector. So to that end, as every agency does, we have a strategy, and we have four statements that I won't read out. I think I should stress these are not this is not window dressing. These are things that the agency is genuinely committed to. I'm going to talk through how we go about doing this, and I hope that you'll see that our actions do meet these aims. We've been involved in the world of student engagement and quality assurance for at least 10 years, potentially more, although I think it is fair to say that our activity has really ramped up over the last couple of years. We have something called the Student Advisory Board, which is essentially a now formal part of our decision-making structures, and it brings together colleagues from the NUS and a whole range of student representatives from across the sector to advise us on the development of policy at a very early stage. We have two student members on our board, and, of course, we have student reviewers and operate right across our HE review methods. I've talked already about this chapter of the UK Quality Code. We also run a series of events, Quality Matters and Quality Still Matters, one of which is at the start of the year and one of which is at the end of the year, and they often focus very much around engaging directly with students. We had our Quality Matters event a couple of months ago. We were very excited to note that we trended higher than the Conservative Party conference at the time that it was on. Although someone has since pointed out to me that trending is about speed of increase rather than volume of, but we'll brush over that. And of course we have the QAA concern scheme, which is the ability for students and indeed anybody to raise with us where they think there are systematic problems at their institution. I think that's something that's going to become increasingly important. I did want to just pause on two new large areas of work that we have in relation to student engagement. We've recently handed out some funding to do some research into this area. We think it's really important that an area like student engagement that has a lot of coverage at the moment is underpinned by robust evidence. So we've commissioned two different agencies, two different groups, research teams, to do two different studies. One is being undertaken by King's College Learning Institute and is in relation to student perceptions of quality and standards. And what we're interested in here is we know we're at an interesting period of change in the sector, and we know that there are a lot of views about what students do and don't think about what they expect and get for their time and commitment and indeed cash at university. And we're interested to go out and actually ask students what they perceive quality and standards to be, what are they expecting, and then think about how that can inform our work. We also want to do a bit of a stock-taking check, so we're doing a student engagement across the UK study, and that's going to be undertaken by the University of Bath in collaboration with the Bath Student Union. And they will be looking essentially at the expectations for student engagement as defined in the quality code, and not in an audit or review kind of way, but actually just in an investigative way, going out around the sector and really examining practice in this area and finding out what interesting and exciting things are going on, of which we know there is a lot. Finally, I did want to say a few words on student engagement about the absolute importance of our strategic partnership with the NUS. We've worked with them closely over the last couple of years and their emerging student engagement and quality unit, and the work we've done with them has been extremely valuable. We've recently just signed a couple of contracts with them to do some work. One is to look at the issue of sustainability of student engagement within institutions. So we've actually signed a contract to work with them on the development of a staff development program for staff in student unions. We're also really interested in some practice that goes on in some student unions, but not in all, in which there is an annual process of communicating to the HEI about what is going on in the student world in relation to quality and standards, and we like that. We think that is a good and constructive thing to do. So we're working with the NUS to work out how that practice might be extended. Sorry if I'm speeding up, I'm just conscious of time. I did want to say a few words about our broader communications and public engagement work. I think it is really important that both the QAA working with the sector in partnership and student unions have a coherent public-facing story to tell about the quality and standards of UK higher education. And that's not always easy when we have the diversity of the sector. But I think it is really important, particularly as we go into a more diverse market. And it's particularly important in terms of ensuring the public that they can have confidence in UK higher education. So we do see this as a very important part of our work, explaining to the public what it is we do and how quality in universities are maintained. I won't talk about this too long, just to highlight that, of course, one of the ways that we do this is essentially by making formal judgments on the provision of information by institutions in our audit and review methods. And that's a new development for us that will come into play from reviews starting from September just gone. And with the judgment we make is that the information that's provided must be fit for purpose, accessible and trustworthy. We take public engagement seriously, as I say. We've recently set up a directorate of public engagement. We've been working really hard to simplify that quality gobbledygook into something that is a little bit more understandable to the general public. For example, our review reports have been split now into two sections. We have a short, hopefully punchy report that is suitable for more broader dissemination, and a large detailed evidence base that goes to institutions and hopefully provides them with useful information. We tailor our materials for different audiences. We produce mini guides, student focus guides, and we've recently revamped our website and have launched a whole series of strategic links with other websites such as the Which Guide for Universities, the Unistat site, and we are working with UCAS, so that when students go to look at those websites, they will find out information about the Quality Assurance Agency, they'll be able to drill down into our reports and find out information about those institutions. We've also launched the QAA Quality Mark. This is essentially a logo licensing scheme for institutions to display our logo, assuming that they have had a successful outcome in their audit. On its own, we don't think this is going to change the world, but we do think it's an important way of signalling to students that they can have faith in the experiences that they will have. And finally, just a point there about ensuring that all of our communication now, we start from the principle of everything has to be digital first and available on the move. We communicate through a wide medium of social media to ensure that we take our message to where people actually are, rather than trying to persuade them to come to us. Obviously, we make use of Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I do just want to highlight, we've just launched a presence on Facebook. We have a student engagement at QAA Facebook page, which is predominantly aimed at those interested in the area of student engagement. I'd recommend you go and have a look at it. Going to take 5 minutes at the end just to show you a couple of little videos as well that we have up on YouTube that are freely available to use, which are our attempt, and you can tell us how successful or not we have been, at communicating what we do and what quality assurance is to a wider public. Finally, I just wanted to repeat, really, some key things that we think as an agency at the moment. We do think that quality assurance has to be independent. That doesn't mean operating kind of in isolation or in a vacuum. We have to be fully aware of changes in the sector, changes in government policy, and changes to the student body. But it does mean that we have to be absolutely independent in the judgments that our reviewers make. And that is absolutely fundamental to a secure quality assurance system. As I've said already, we do think it's fundamentally important that there is a UK-wide framework, admittedly adapting that framework for application in each country and in relation to providers. We do think it's important that in a diverse market that assurance applies across everyone. And finally, that obviously that must take students right at its centre and also be fully explained and transparent to the public. So that was a very whistle-stop tour through what QAA is up to at the moment. I think there are actually a couple of little videos which I'm going to further impinge on the agenda to show you, and you can tell us how bad they are.
I certainly think the presentation and perhaps even the videos deserves a round of applause.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.